Thank you for joining us for episode 40 of Head Start, a weekly podcast to help Liberty's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. It is spring. Spring is, well, I can't say it's sprung.
It's it is springing. Upon us.
It is upon us. It is present. How about that? Trees are blooming. Claritin cells are rising, and what a blessing it is. The sun is coming up earlier, and that is good. With spring is this America's pastime. Is that what baseball is called?
Spring practice.
Spring practice.
That's what I like to think of it as two separate words there. America's pastime. You know, because it's like, yeah, maybe way back in the day, whatever, but yeah.
Well, I guess that gives us an idea of where Brian lands on baseball. So here's the question I have for you guys collectively. I have a list here, and this list has the 30 MLB teams. And so my question for you is, what percentage of those 30 teams do you think you guys, the three of you collectively, can name? Can you name 50% of those teams? 75. Kyle is confident.
50%.
Kyle is confident.
We've got more than 50% around this
You're
table.
Probably right.
I'm saying collectively.
Not on this side of the
we
table.
We may miss one.
Okay.
There may be one, maybe two.
Set the bar up there, my man.
So,
I like it.
So you're thinking 28?
I'm thinking 28.
Okay, and you said 15 because you've already said 50%. Yeah. And Tim, what percent? What do you think?
Well, whatever these guys feel good about, because it won't be much of a in between.
So do we need to land somewhere between 15 and
70%?
Okay,
say 25.
20.
Just go 20.
66 and a third or 2/3%.
There you go.
Two thirds. So, and that's
Tim, I thought you would like.
Yeah, I mean, he's the baseball.
The baseball. Once I got out of the routine, I've just left it behind.
All right, so here we go.
I might pull out some old names.
Let's see how you do here because these are
Florida Marlins.
Florida Marlins.
Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, for sure.
Baltimore Orioles.
Go.
Oakland A's.
Yankees,
this
Mets.
Is not a whole lot, not as easy as I thought it would be to find these things. Yankees, Mets.
Red Sox.
I really am. Red Sox, Cardinals.
Colorado Rockies.
Blue Jays.
St. Louis Cardinals.
Padres. Angels, Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Astros.
Get them.
Rangers. Nationals.
This is Nationals.
He's way behind.
I really am. He's so far behind. My problem is finding them on this crazy list here.
Okay. You put them in alphabetical order over there?
They are in by state, by city.
Yeah.
So let's do it like that. Help me out there.
All right.
Okay. So I know you said the Braves. Atlanta, come on,
Baltimore,
the Reds.
Baltimore,
and the Reds.
No, the Phillies. Reds didn't mean anything to me. What city are they?
Cincinnati. Philadelphia,
okay.
Phillies.
Yes, keep going.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. The Cubs. Did we already say the Cubs?
No, we didn't. And the White Sox.
Chicago and the White Sox.
Okay, yep. The two Chicago teams. Yes.
Tigers. The Detroit Tigers.
I need the city name first. Yes.
Yep.
Let's see, Seattle Mariners.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got to be decently close. I feel like we've
done a lot. There's a lot left here.
I think you've just not.
It's possible. It's possible. I know I missed a bunch of
them. I'd have to start rattling them off and see if we've got them.
I got Yankees.
Yankees, Mets.
Mets.
Yeah.
You said Marlins. I heard that.
There, yeah.
Orioles. Did you got the Orioles?
No, I don't know what city that's.
Baltimore.
We still have Dodgers and the Rams.
Still got Dodgers and Angels.
I think we know.
I need the cities.
The Diamondbacks.
Oh, the Diamondbacks. There you go.
Arizona. Good.
I got that one.
Okay.
This is impressive.
See,
we're learning that Kyle's
got it.
Now, ask me any player on them. I have no clue. Yep. But
okay, you're still a long way away.
All right, what did we miss?
I do believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
I have to review this.
Rattle them off so that we can see if we got
Houston Astros. We had the Texas Rangers.
Okay, yes.
Yeah,
we those two. Yes, those two.
Here.
Yeah.
You got the Washington Nationals down
there.
Got
them, yes.
Why don't you tell us what you're missing, and we'll tell you if we said them or not.
Tell us the city.
I don't think it works that way.
We'll be honest.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the ones that I did not mark. Okay. Because we got
we'll tell you if we do.
Cleveland Guardians.
No.
No. The Indians, you mean?
Well, no, they're the Guardians. They're the Indians. Colorado.
Hey, out of here Rockies. With that. I said Colorado Rockies, okay. And I said Kansas City.
Okay.
There you go.
Missed them. Milwaukee Brewers.
No.
We didn't get
Minnesota Twins.
No.
Oakland Athletics.
Yes, I said the A's.
Okay. San Diego Padres.
Yes.
Did you say the Padres?
I said the Padres.
San Francisco Giants.
Giants. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you missed it.
We missed those. No. And that's pathetic.
Okay. And then St. Louis Cardinals.
Got it.
We said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then put a mark there. Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like the only team that I've gone and seen.
And then the Toronto Jays.
Got them.
Okay. You said that.
So I said the Blues.
So you missed one, two, three, four. Five.
So we
hey, that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Without Kyle, I think we would have been right around 15.
Had about three of them.
Kyle was aiming them off like crazy.
Again, ask me any player.
So we'll come back next week and we'll talk about naming your favorite baseball player.
There we go. Talk about the NBA.
All right. So now that we've identified the fact that Kyle knows lots of teams, and thank you so much for being a part of this team. So we got to whatever percentage that was. all right. We're here not just to name MLB teams, but more specifically to look at a passage of Scripture. We will, on this coming Sunday, be wrapping up the sermon series on pray, and we'll wrap up with supplication. Prayers of supplication. We'll be looking specifically at Psalm chapter 70. And so, Kyle, if you'll guide us in a conversation on this passage of Scripture.
Yeah, so we've really enjoyed going through this series and just really trying to develop into men and women of prayer and just looking at different types of prayer throughout this series. And now we arrive at the end of the series, and it's prayers of supplication, those prayers of asking something from the Lord on our behalf, and so, or on the behalf of others. And so, as we came to this passage, as I've been looking at it this week, preparing for the sermon, and just looking at it, going, why in the world did I pick this particular passage for our series? Because just kind of a little behind the scenes of how we do this, Tim, Brian, and I will get in a room and we'll kind of map out where do we think the Lord's leading us for sermon series, and then we'll each take some of those series and we'll go and look through some passages that, you know, maybe how do we break down a certain book of the Bible that we're preaching through, or what are some passages that speak to whatever series we're going through, and I had the pray series, and so looking back at Psalm 70, I'm going, why in the world did I pick this one? This is just it just appeared just kind of random to me looking at it again this week. But the more and more I've looked into it, it's just reinforced that God uses sometimes our silliness. He still even does that to work his good pleasure. And there's actually some really good things to learn through this psalm about how to ask things of the Lord. So with that kind of introduction to Psalm 70, there's only five verses to it. And so the first thing, just right off the bat, is that you may have a little script at the beginning that says, this is to the choir master of David for the memorial offering. And that literally reads, just to make remembrance, or to make remember, to remind. This is a psalm to remind. And that's a theme that we're going to return to at the end of this, that I'm going to at the end of this, because that's an important part of this psalm. But you see, even in verse 1, there is an urgency to what David is praying. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. This is a man who is desperate. He is desperate for the Lord to answer him, to hear his prayers, and to answer his prayers. And so right off the bat, this is not just a normal kind of set-aside prayer of, you know, Lord, bless me and keep me and watch over me. This is, I am in desperate need. I am in danger. I need your help. And so right off the bat, there's an urgency to this.
Yeah, and that does lead well into this measures moment, despite the fact that I'm figuring out how to make this transition in my own mind.
Oh, that's right.
But it does. So as believers, we are called to be helpers who give generously for one another. The situation that David is in surrounds the people who surround him at this present time. He's got enemies in his life, and he's got friends or co-worshippers in his life, fellow people of the Lord. And right now, this is one of those situations, they happen often in the Psalms, where David's enemies are close and his friends are far. And so as believers, one of the things that we can do in order to surround one another and help each other is we can kind of stand in the gap. And there's a number of our measures that relate to and connect with that. The one that's highlighted in your curriculum is a helper who gives generously, right? So on page 44, as you're working through this, remind people that folks who are in desperate situations, as the psalmist, struggle with where they should turn for help. They get caught up listening to the world and seeking advice from all sorts of different sources, whether that's self-help books or movies or TV preachers or whatever they can find. And this kind of wisdom is rampant in our society. So as helpers who follow Jesus and therefore stand in the gap for other people, we are able to point others in the right direction so that they can receive the help that they desperately need. It says, like David demonstrated in Psalm 70, turning to the Lord is always the best and wisest course of action. So we get an opportunity as disciples, as Jesus followers, to help others see when they're in seasons of desperation or when they're in seasons of just a little bit of need, which we all are all the time. It is right and good for us to remind one another to voice those words that are in Psalm 70, verse 1. God, hurry to rescue me. God, hurry to help me. So remind your people to be helpful to one another in that way.
Thank you, Brian. Also, on page 44, second question there is a good one. One thing that we learn from Psalm, and particularly the prayers of David, is just the raw emotion and the honest prayer. And one thing that it really helps us understand is it's okay to pray with great honesty before the Lord regarding our emotions, regarding our needs. Regarding urgency, make haste, O God, deliver me. I mean, I'm under fire here or under pressure. I need you. I need you now. So the question is, why is being honest with God in your prayers so important? Not that God, an all-knowing God, doesn't know, but it is freeing for us to be able to self-identify sometimes our own emotions and our own need and cry out to God for that help, the kind of help that only a Heavenly Father is able to give. So maybe lean into that question of why is honest prayer important for us as children of God?
That's good.
That is good. So as we look at the rest of this passage, there's really not a lot of ambiguity to what's being said and what's being asked in David's prayers here in Psalm 70. He obviously, his life is in danger, and he wants, at the very beginning, for God to bring those who are plotting against him to open shame. He wants their plans to fail. He wants their hopes dashed. He wants them to be disappointed in all their connivings to try to get David, to try to end his life, or to end his reign. And so you see where it says, let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Like it's this idea of, they have been taunting him and confidently plotting against him, and he wants them turned away in disgrace and shame. But then there's a contrast here that he wants brought about for those who love the Lord, those who are seeking after the Lord. He wants them, instead of the shame and the disgrace that they would be experiencing at the hands of these oppressors, he wants them, by the hand of God, to be experiencing joy and gladness. He desires them to experience those things as they see God come through for them. He yearns for God's people to be able to proudly say, proudly, openly, and continuously say that God is great. They're striving in that, in their prayers while they're being oppressed, but he wants them to be able to shout that in triumph as they've seen God come through for them. Now, in verse 5 where it says, "But I am poor and needy," the sense there is that he's saying, as for me, in light of all that I've prayed, this is my current state. So I definitely need your help, Lord. Yet I trust in you. You are my help and my deliverer. That's why I'm asking for help and deliverance at the very beginning of this prayer from you, because it's according to your character to help your people. It's according to your character to deliver your people. So come, don't delay. And that really connects to in the New Testament when we're at the end of Revelation, we're saying, "Come, Lord Jesus," right? That's the prayer of all of God's people from the very beginning. We want him to come because we know that when he comes, with him comes our redemption, the fullness of our deliverance. And so we long for that. Now, again, I said at the beginning of this is kind of a strange passage. But it's a good passage as you look at it for some principles for offering up prayers of supplication. I just want to point to three, because in your studies, as you're preparing to lead your group, you may go, "What in the world do I do with this passage?" Only five verses, pretty straightforward, and maybe most of the people in your life group aren't facing an incredibly dangerous and desperate situation like the psalmist here.
Jesus at the door.
So maybe they are, and hey, this will connect really well with them, but maybe they're not. So I want to give you some principles from this passage that I think will be helpful to you as you teach on offering up prayers of supplication. And the first is that short and to the point is okay. Short and to the point is okay when it comes to our prayers. Remember, Jesus is going to teach in Matthew 6, God doesn't need you offering all these flowery prayers. He knows what you need before you ask. So short and to the point is perfectly fine in your time of desperate need or in your time of normal need. It is okay to offer these short and to the point prayers. Second, using scripture is helpful in your prayers. There's only a handful of times in the Psalms where David actually seems to take what he's written prior and use it again. This particular psalm, almost the entirety of it, is found in Psalm 40. What David's doing here is revisiting Scripture in his prayers. In a moment of urgent need, he's not coming up with new things to say to God. He's repeating what's already been said to God.
That's good.
I think when we've been going through this series to say we want to tie our prayers to Scripture and we want to learn how to pray from the Scriptures, well, here is King David himself doing it. We have an actual account of a writer of Scripture using Scripture to pray. And it's just a wonderful lesson, I think, to us, as we are putting forth our requests before God, we can use the scriptures to give us the language that we need for those prayers. So short and to the point is okay. Using scripture is helpful. And then remembering is the key to right asking. Mm-hmm. By going back to Psalm 40, he's remembering that God's already used this prayer to deliver him in the past. And in Psalm 70, at the beginning And at the end, he uses God's covenant name. This is where sometimes I think our Bible translations using Lord so often in capital letters, we kind of just read through that without remembering, like, this is God's covenant name here, Yahweh. This is not just a generic or general name for this deity that he is addressing. He's talking to the one who is in covenant with him. He's talking to the one who made a covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then led the people through the Exodus and brought about David to the throne. He's seen God's faithfulness throughout the ages to God's people. And by calling out to the Lord, Yahweh, he's bringing to mind, this is who God is. This is what he's done. And so therefore, this is what I can know that he will do for me. And so short and to the point is okay. Using scripture is helpful. And remembering is key to right asking. And I think if you put those kinds of principles into place, your prayers of supplication, you'll just see yourself growing in the ability to offer up those prayers in a more confident and faithful way.
Thank you, Kyle, for that. And as we seek to grow in confidence in our prayers, particularly prayers of supplication, the live it out points on page 46 of your curriculum, the first one challenges us to reflect and make a list of the typical people or places that we go to for help outside the Lord. And all of us kind of have those defaults in our mindset and our practice, whether it's to our spouse, someone that's a go-to person. It could be a best friend. It could be a counselor. It could be a parent. Places that we go, some people hit the internet search real quick to try to find answers. But what do you feel and sense, and what do those in your class sense that is their typical people or places they go to outside of the Lord? And then the challenge is to be intentional about taking your needs to God first, rather than responding in our default mode that these are our go-to people that we go to pretty quick or go-to places. Be intentional about taking our needs to the God first. And then write out a prayer of supplication that reveals your faith and trust in him. And so live it out, number one. There are two live it out points, but I just wanted to call attention to that first one of thinking about how we naturally respond in time of need and who our natural people or places are to go to. And then counter that by being intentional and reflecting on writing out a prayer of supplication to God that reveals our faith and trust in him. So let him be our first move. And then these others may be helpful, but let God be first.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing. And I just want to say I've enjoyed this sermon series as we're looking at prayer and equipping our people to pray, and that it would be something that's consistent and not just a, oh, no, things are bad, now I should go talk to God, but just this consistent, ongoing communication and connection with God through prayer. So thank you for leading us in this direction. And as we've you guys have and are preaching, and as our leaders get to guide our groups in these conversations. So thank you for investing in us in that way. So as we wrap our time together, we need to look at a few things that are coming up, ways that we get to engage our community, so important to us. Just some reminders. You guys have heard this, but I just want to say it again. Opening day is coming. It's a huge opportunity for us to engage our community. In excess of 500 baseball players, which means a gazillion parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters, whatever a gazillion is, that's how many will be out there on Saturday from 9 until 4. Saturday the 16th. And so we still need your help. You can sign up to help, and you can guide your group to sign up to help in multiple ways. You can go to their website. You can text to 205-236-3717. Text the word outreach, and we will get you connected to be a part of serving on that day. So be sure, leaders, to lead your group to engage in this way, because it's such a great way for us to engage our community. Next, we've got new homeowner visits that's coming up on the 24th. It'll be just an hour or so on Sunday afternoon, where we get to go in our community and engage people who are new to our community. It's a super easy way to engage people who likely are new to our community, simply to invite them to our church. It's not complicated. It's really simple. So I encourage you, leaders, to go ahead and think about and make the invitation to someone in your group to join you as we go make these visits on Sunday, March the 24th at 3 p.m. So we have 75 people to visit. So let's go make these visits and knock them out on the 24th. Finally, Easter weekend is coming. There's been a challenge that we've given to everyone, all of the kids, students, and adults in our church to offer five invitations in the month of March to people in our community. I know that this week, personally, I've been able to give two invitations, so we got a lot more to do. So I hope to give more than five in the month of March, but let's start at five. We'll have cards in the Easter invite cards in your box. Make those available to your groups on Sundays so that it's an easy tool that we can use to give out and invite people. It has all the information. We don't have to remember the times and all that kind of good stuff. It's really simple and easy to do. So let's be making those invites to invite people to come be a part of Easter weekend. So thank you for joining us for this podcast, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.